Ladies and gentlemen, friends, we are making another step in the series called Rudolf Steiner Academy. And today we want to speak about occult politics and how it is reflected in present politics. So what do I understand by occult politics? That we have a basis. Just roughly speaking, it means that you work with factors in great perspective, including hidden non-physical realities. For example, spirit of nation, which is normally just an abstract word, the reality of the spirits of nation. There are spirits of nation in among all peoples, French, Italian, Russian, Americans, and occult politics takes into account these realities, takes into account reincarnation and karma, takes into account the present and the reality of the so-called dead. This is a special point for what is done in occult politics in certainly Western lodges. They work with the dead. And they work, occult politics also works with large historical epochs, with the knowledge of evolution laws of big kind. For example, we live now in the fifth post-Atlantean epoch, which has started in 1413 and which will endure about 2160 years. This is a starry rhythm. I don't explain today. I think we have already had that sometime. And the next epoch will be the sixth, which is called the Slavic, which will only begin in 3570 after Christ. So there is some time to it, but of course, every epoch is prepared in the before going. And some people who know that, who have some notion of occult politics, they say, well, then let's see that we can prepare the next epoch. Now the question is, in what way do they prepare it? Do they prepare it from an all human point of view, or do they prepare it from a special, let's say, Western Anglo-American point of view? And this, unfortunately, is the predominant factor today. So these are the basic points, what is to be understood by occult politics. And now I just want to go not longer into this direction, but make a kind of example where we can see how this sort of occult politics with a Western nuance or Western accent is actually manifest today. In Great Britain, I think I mentioned that in one of our other talks already, in the end of the 90s of the 1900s, there is an interesting book with a strange title. It was called The Transcendental Universe, Six Lectures on Occult Science, Theosophy, and the Catholic Faith. And in this book, the writer, who has undergone an interesting development to lead him beyond the threshold of the physical, he became initiated into occult realities. And out of his initiation, he speaks about some example of occult politics, referring to the fact that peoples, nations, have their own spirit and have a development in time. And the basics is, for example, all these people who know these things knew the French culture is beyond the culmination of its mission. The English American is now at this time having the great action to perform in the world, and they do. And the Slavic people have a future. That's why they are said to be still today in infancy. The Slavic has not to be confused and identified with the Bolshevik. That was kind of a shadow and a caricature and actually fabricated in the West. Bolshevism, which now has ended in a certain way, but on the other hand, we said that in another talk, it has been globalized after 1989, is not Slavic. It's a Western imprint in the future Slavic area about which some people have a great consciousness. It will be important. So it will be important who forms it today. And in that area, we have a big confrontation between what would naturally evolve in the Slavic area and what is implanted today. And there I want to make a concrete reference. But first, to close, Harrison's Transcendental Universe has the following sentences about the Slavic people. Their destiny is to evolve a higher civilization of their own in the future. That was said in this booklet in 1893. Now it is in a period of infancy. And he speaks also of the next great European war in that time, which will bring in the East, in the Slavic East, the possibility of performing socialist experiments. The term is used. Socialist experiments which would be impossible to perform in the West. So that is Harrison foreshadowing in 1893 what then was realized in 1917 with the surge of the rise of Bolshevism. Now, as a contrast to this, I will give you and remind some of you who noticed already, probably, of some words of a speaker of the American geopolitic doctrine in 2015, that is almost exactly a bit more than 7 years ago, in Chicago. I call him off later. I just read his words first. The main interest of US foreign policy during the last century and the First and the Second World War and during the Cold War was the relations between Germany and Russia. Because if united, they would be the only power that could threaten us, the US. Our main interest, therefore, was that this would never happen. George Friedman, 2015, and it is clearly to be seen, if you want, that this is based on some of the occult politic principles. No matter whether George Friedman has a consciousness, a clear consciousness of his. So that's an important thing, that the actors on the political stage don't need to know what is actually the background of their doing. What they have to do is inspired like puppets by some other people who know. And they are not so much in the visibility. Now, if we turn with this, I call it Friedman doctrine words, into the present situation, we make some interesting discoveries, if we want. Now we have, as all know, this terrible war, because all modern wars are terrible. In antiquity, it was in a way a bit different. In Ukraine, started on February the 24th this year. An American writer whose name I have forgotten wrote an interesting article saying, this war is not against Russia from Ukraine or against Ukraine from Russia. It's directed against Middle Europe, especially Germany. That might be a little bit surprising for some of us. But if you see how Zelensky and others is trying to involve all Europe, especially Germany, to send weapons to back the Ukraine so-called fight for independence, for democracies, and all the rest of all these slogans, then you can see it is especially important for this doctrine that Germany is drawn in, by that weakened in its independence and betraying the great possibility of a productive cooperation with Russia. And this was there in a potential that was becoming real in the time of Schröder, for example. The whole pipeline project was born together with Putin. And it was a prosperous perspective to have good neighborly economic relationships that would make Europe more independent in a cooperation with Russia. And now, already in a press conference in February the 8th of this year, 1922, in Washington, the new German Chancellor Scholz was called to go there, and he was told by the American President Biden that in case there is something happening in the Ukraine with Russia, a kind of an invasion, you will have to forget the pipeline project forever. Surprising, surprising. And to the question how that would be performed, he just said, there are means to do this, don't worry. So there was a declaration that the question of these prepared pipelines functioning was an American affair and has nothing to do with the Germans, with Germany and Europe, which is of course very odd. Now, before the war was starting, this was uttered, and Scholz then saw that the contracts for these pipelines were, so to speak, frozen. It was not going on. Technically, it was very far, could have been used, but there were contract problems now. So that went on through the whole ensuing part of the year, and until we had September the 26th, not long ago, that you have this sabotage, evidently, of the pipelines, four holes, and a witty head sent around by in the internet, a photograph by the CIA of a Russian passport swimming on the gas on the surface. I don't know whether it is only a joke. I don't know whether some people really believe that. It would be very silly, because you remember the story of the passport of Mohammed Atta, one of the accused, alleged criminals of 9/11. The whole buildings were reduced to dust, but one passport has survived without any harm, Mohammed Atta's, to show the world public where the crime comes from. It's a similar thing. I think it's just a joke, but it's not without fundament, because in the half press of the European media, you find indeed people who believe that the sabotage was done by Russia. And ask yourself, what would Russia have as a motive to do this? I don't think you can find any answer. But who? Cui bono? That's the main question of our friend Catherine, often recurrently and rightly so. Cui bono? Who had the main interest in this sabotage? And there is no question. It's the Americans, the US. This was even confirmed by a Polish, foreign minister, who even said in the internet, thank you, US, for doing this. So how did he know that it was the US? But it is absolutely, everything is pointing there. Now, with this, a fundamental possibility of having an economic, long-lasting action between Middle Europe, Germany, where the gas would flow, and Russia was just destroyed for quite a time. I don't know whether these pipelines would be repaired or substituted. If yes, that would take some time. And we would also take a change of mentality in Middle Europe against Russia. As long as Russia is under the sanctions and under the belief that it was is the terrorist, the demon of the present world politics, it won't work. So we have an important criminal act. This is the criminal part of performing occult politics. Mind you, in the background is always an interest in the future of the Slavic people. And in order to develop the future, some people who have the Friedman Doctrine inside want to make sure that Russia and Germany and Middle Europe are isolated from each other, which is totally unnatural. It's only in the interest of certain power politics in the West. It's not in the interest of the Middle Europeans. It never was. And I will quote you a little sentence by Steiner in 1917 to the Austrian Polzerhoditz, whose brother was linked with the last emperor. We have talked about that. And to whom Steiner said, to Ludwig Polzerhoditz in 1917, it is necessary to preserve economic competition between Middle Europe and the West. It cannot and should never be eliminated. Maybe in future centuries, different, but not now. Because if this independence economically of Europe and the West is eliminated, you are necessarily going to enslave Europe for good. And this is not good, but this is bad. So that was said in 1917. And the blowing up of these two Nord Stream pipelines is a certain end to all possibilities to have a cooperation between Germany, Europe, and Russia. So The war in the Ukraine has this aim to destroy this bridging between Middle European and Russia on an economic level, which could be the basis for bridges in culture and all the rest. It is like with an axe blown away. And I think it is important that one sees this background of the Ukrainian war, which gave, by means of the demonization of Russia and Putin, the possibility to perform such an act of sabotage, which is clearly against all human rights and all declared United Nations rights and so on. This is just blah, blah. So we have a hard reality, and I think the prophecy of some people that Europe will have a hard winter is more than near fulfillment through this destruction of this sound economic possibility between Europe and Russia. And I'm sure Russia notices this very clearly. And the silly remarks that you could find day or two ago by the NATO chief, what's his name? Of course, you know him, from Norway, that they now will, of course, do everything to strengthen the NATO in the east of the Ukraine and the surrounding areas, and deliver weapons, can only lead to put Russia into a corner in which it is not sure how Russia will react with their special gift of having hypermodern weapons that are probably not all known in the West. So that is a real danger through this act of aggression, of this blowing up the pipelines in Nord Stream 1 and 2. We have a totally alert world situation where we don't know exactly where this might lead to. So this is just an illustration that with broad lines politics, you have the possibility of stop positive processes and end them. And unfortunately, many, many Europeans are just in a dream of solidarity illusions with the Ukraine, which of course there is a lot of suffering, that is no question, but the answer is certainly not that Mr. Zelensky goes around endlessly and he doesn't want medicines, medical aid, that would be understandable. All he wants is money and weapons. And that will lead Europe, and especially Middle Europe and Germany, into an abyss of dependency and slavery that we all should strive to avoid. So I come back to the beginning. The Friedman Doctrine is based on a certain part of occult politics, namely on the will of the West to dominate not only the presence in the world, but the future development, by seeing that Russia has not a good, healthy relation to Europe, which would be necessary for its future to develop in the right form. And whether Friedman knows anything about these occult politics is not decisive. On the other hand, we have another occult politics program, if you like, which is connected with two Middle Europeans like Steiner and Moltke. And this is more or less the opposite. because there you have impulses and you can find it documented in a source that I will again name afterwards. You have impulses for the cooperation, the working together of Middle European and Russian spheres, knowing that the folk spirits of Middle European and especially one of Germany have a huge mission in the future, peaceful, which should not be harmed and not be blocked by any one-sided Western interests as it is the case now. Last time in our speech, in one of our speeches, I read you the quotes of someone who after death sees his own future in the East in helping the cooperation between Middle Europe and Russia. This is a positive occult politics aspect over against the one who is only abusing big perspectives for relatively narrow national interests, Western national interests. So we would have a subject for itself. How can big spiritual principles be used and how can they be abused? And today, I think the abuse is more prominent than the usage. The usage could be important, but the ignorance about these things in Europe is gigantic. In the West, there were always people open for occult points of view. And in Middle European, they are often not having the mentality of being modest enough to realize that their intellectual knowledge should be broadened and widened. So as they are ignorant of the occult politics sphere, they are easy to reign. They are easy to dominate. They just don't realize it. Listen to the people in the German politics. There are a few exceptions. And now I want to insert an even hilarious episode that is not probably very known. A man who was married to one of the leading critics of the present Middle European political sphere, that was Sarah Wagenknecht. She was linked to a man called Ralf Niemeyer. This Ralf Niemeyer, about 10 days ago, boarded a plane after having written to Putin for being allowed to come to Russia and to speak to a number of public gentlemen. And he did. He met Lavrov, he met the chief of Gazprom, a man called Miller, I forgot his first name, and he, in the plane to Russia, announced himself to be the head of the German exile government. Of course, it is a fake, but it is a very interesting fake, because he went to Russia with exactly those arguments about the politics with Russia that are reasonable, that never come out of the mouth of the official German politicians. And they, in a way, took him seriously. We will bring in the next Europair and in the present age a photograph where you see this president of the German exile government next to Lavrov. And they make a very hilarious content impression. And of course, when he was going back to Germany, this man, he got arrested and he will be sued and imprisoned, I think. But it is, even in that joke form, interesting to see that at least someone had the courage to end, to sabotage, so to speak, these absurdities in German politics by such an act. And he even succeeded to be invited to the Russian crosstalks in Russia Today, which we can still see, fortunately, in Switzerland, which you cannot see in England. I don't know about Holland, Netherlands, no. And you cannot see in Germany, you cannot see in France. The EU has banned it. And there you can see Ralph Niemeyer, the self-appointed exile president of the German government. It's so witty. And I think he has a background of someone who knows Sarah Wagenknecht, to whom he was married, I think, for 13 years. I was told that she knows the whole Goethe who is behind us. So a person who has a relation to Middle European culture, which is rarely the case with German politicians. I think most German politicians are less connected to Schiller and Goethe than Putin is, with his perfect knowledge of the German language and some knowledge of the German culture. So, and when Niemeyer, the self-appointed president of the exile government, met the Gazprom chief, they were of course talking about the future of the pipeline 1 and 2, when they were still existing. That's now over. That's a strange coincidence. That's now blown up. And the Middle Europeans would do well to realize what aggressive, criminal, imperialistic act this is, that America, the United States politic, has absolutely no justification to meddle in this affair and to destroy great possibilities for a long time. I wanted to put that as an example for the reality of occult politics, which are a fact and which are especially important to look at if they are used in a one-sided way, and this is the case in the Western politics. We could also use examples of Churchill that would show how he hated the Middle European spirit, and not only the people. I remind you of the saying of a Russian sociologist quoting Churchill in a letter: "We are not fighting against Hitler, we are not fighting against National Socialism, we are fighting against the spirit of Schiller, that he may never come again in a new life. Reincarnated." That shows a deep hatred. And to understand this, I also have found, and maybe mentioned already once, a saying by Steiners that is a deep psychological explanation for this hatred in the West for the virtues, potential virtues of the Europeans. It is connected with the acts of Joan of Arc, who freed Europe from the presence of the British at that time. And Steiner comments and said, this is at the background of the opposition of England against not the German people, but the German folk spirit. There you have the spiritual aspect, the German folk spirit. That means they are not, it's like being offended as a nation by what happened by Joan d'Arc, which was also good, of course. It helped England to have a free development, it helped Europe to have a free development, but it showed these people who know about occult politics, oh, the German leading spirit is an entity which might strengthen our enemies to a degree that we don't want. There we go back to the Friedman politics. So deep are the realities. And mind you, occult politics includes, of course, often, I don't know about Friedman, I don't know about Biden in this regard, but we know that Winston Churchill, who wanted and who did destroy at the end of the war in a totally unnecessary way, a whole city, Dresden, as you know, with hundreds of thousands of victims. He was not only a Germany hater, he was also a high grade Mason. And he knew about reincarnation. He even made a private joke and said, next time he will come back as a sculpture. But before he will do that, he has destroyed a lot of things in Europe. And what do Europeans do? They praise him as one of the liberators of Europe from Nazi Germany, not knowing how much England and America were involved in enabling Hitlerism to rise. We talked about that earlier. So this, in a nutshell, was an attempt to give an idea of what occult politics means. And it doesn't necessarily imply that the actors on the public scene know about these things. What it is implying is that there are people who have large perspectives of this kind. Sometimes they go into public, like it was the case with Churchill, but I don't think we should suppose that a man like Biden, who looks a little bit like that he is not really quite sane in his mind when he speaks and when he walks, it's not necessary that he knows these things. What is necessary that his actions fall into harmony with these principles, and they do perfectly. By the way, in 2014, he was already meddling in Russia with his son in energy factories. I don't know, was it oil, was it gas? I'm not sure anymore, but there was a connection already. And now America is the main cui bono nation for profiting from the necessity of the Europeans, if they don't want to freeze to death, so to speak, to buy very expensive American energy, gas. So this is a victory which should have been avoided and will have consequences. So I think with that we give an entrance into the actuality from a point of view that is not very usual, but I think very necessary. And I was stimulated by this American article who said this war is not against Russia. Between Russia and Ukraine, it is against Middle European and especially Germany. And the Germans, not for the first time, just fall into a pit which is arranged specially for them to fall into. Now I want to, at the close, just to make a few references that those interested can follow, that these things are not taken out of the air or out of the blue, but you can follow them. I would just make three references. First, there are great lectures in the World War I by Rudolf Steiner, nearby here in Dorna. They are translated under the title Zeitgeschichtliche Betrachtungen The Karma of Untruthfulness. That's the title of these lectures, in which you find many, many insights on what occult politics means and how it is practiced, especially in the West. You find this volume in English translation by Rudolf Steiner Press. Karma of Untruthfulness during World War I. It's necessary to know these things, I think. Then you have the lectures we have talked about in one of the last talks here. Light for the New Millennium, Rudolf Steiner's and Helmut von Moltke's association. Light for the New Millennium is the title of this volume, which gives light, also sheds light on the, we could call, the Moltke-Steiner mission for the whole future of the next 100 years. It's published by Rudolf Steiner Press. And then I want to close with a hint to some text I have already mentioned before. It's called Fundamental Indication of Rudolf Steiner's in 1918 or 19, in which she talks about the future Russian Slavic cultural development in a very short, concise way, and shows how the Western plutocrats know about this and want to make advantage for their own aims in using these future laws. This is a great seed text, and you find it on our webpage, www.perseus.ch, under the heading Articles in English, Fundamental Indication of Steiner. Everyone should know that. It's more important to know this little text than the 14 points of Mr. Wilson, which are still ghosting around. Yes, these would be the reading list. Thank you for your attention, and I hope you will be able to use some of it for understanding where we are. One remark to this illustration here on the blackboard. This is a scene in Tokyo, which was called Yedo in 1861, when the British opened their first embassy in Yedo. There were, in one night, in a surprise attack, attacked by some, they were called Lonins, that's some mercenaries of some strong local princes. And they made a real slaughter, and with many dead and some injured. And on the left you see a man called Laurence Oliphant, and he was one of the most interesting characters in England. He was a writer. He was an occultist. He was a secret agent working for a while for the government. For example, he had traveled widely in Russia, and that's why he knew the geography of the Krim. And the Foreign Office called him in and said, "You know this area. Can you draw us a map of the fortification of Sebastopol?" And he did. And you know, Sebastopol was the place in which the NATO was interested, actually, for establishing a new basis on the Krim. So Oliphant was almost killed, but he survived because his attacker, this is the man on the right, when he drew his sword, he had a resistance because on the ceiling there was a balkan, you know, a pole, which stopped. So he couldn't really, you know, and that made it possible that Oliphant wasn't killed, but he only was almost losing his left arm, which was bad enough, of course. And at that point, Oliphant decided to step out of political life. He was going to China with some American politician and wrote always books about this. And he, and maybe that's worthy to be mentioned now here, because in the West, you don't only have the people of the program that I outlined as, like Biden and like the Friedman doctrine. You have also high spiritual potencies like Ralph Waldo Emerson, like Oliphant, who, when he came back to Scotland from his Asian tours, he gave a lecture, and in this lecture he said, that was just after the terrible start of the Opium War, which was doing a lot of harm to the Chinese, Opium War. And he said, well, the British, in their taking the world, they do not only harm some of these nations deeply, like China in the Opium War, out of economic reasons, but they do harm their own folk substance. That was his vision. So he was not naively backing the British and later the American politics, but he saw on a large context that shows he was not one-sided like most Western politicians today are. So that's why I wrote a little book about him, even a play, because he's a very colorful person, very witty also. And that's why this illustration is here, because in that deadly night, full moonshine in the garden, they had a party in this embassy, and then suddenly you hear the rushing of the noiseless doors that you can draw, you know. And typically British, they had one caricaturist who could hide under I don't know what, be not attacked, and peacefully made some drawings of the slaughter. And that was published in the British Illustrated London News after the event. That's why it is here.